Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Anna Michalak, who is a professor of Stanford University School of Earth Sciences and a researcher with the Department of Global Ecology at the Carnegie Institute for Science. She is a co-author of the new study just published by Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that finds U.S. methane emissions 50% higher than government estimates. Welcome to Background Briefing, Anna Michalak.
Thank you for having me.
And my understanding is that the United States is spewing about 50% more methane than the federal government, the EPA, has estimated. And most of it is coming from just three states, Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas.
You're correct in the sense that our estimates are that the total emissions are about 50% higher than the EPA inventory suggests. About a quarter of those emissions are coming from the three states that you mentioned, Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, and that is the region for which, relatively speaking, we're seeing a much higher number compared to what some other inventories have suggested. I do have to add a little bit of a caveat in the sense that the EPA itself only provides national total numbers. And so when we're making regional comparisons, we're actually comparing to a second inventory called the EDGAR inventory, which is an international inventory.
So, but in order to do this study and come up with these figures, apparently you've taken 13,000 measurements from airplane flights and tall towers, but this was done in 2008, and my understanding is that new measurements will be repeated in I thought they'd been repeated in 2012, but they don't include much of the impact of fracking. So just clarify that, if you will.
So the study that we just published covers our estimates of emissions for the U.S. as a whole for 2007 and 2008. The reason covers those years is because of the wealth of data, both aircraft data and tall tower data, as you mentioned, that we have available for those 2 years. They do come before the recent boom in shale gas production and just an increase in natural gas production in general. So in addition to what they tell us about those two particular years, they really offer a baseline for what emissions were before this recent growth in natural gas production.
Well, of course, this is a very key piece of information to find out, surely, because the idea of switching to natural gas and away from coal is being justified on the basis of the simple fact that natural gas, I think, produces about 50% less CO2 than coal. But if it turns out that in order to get this natural gas, either fissures are happening at the wellheads or in various other places because of the hydraulic fracturing and there's seepage, since methane is, 21 times more potent a global warming gas than CO2, this would make the whole fracking boom a wash, would it not?
Our study doesn't address specifically what these numbers mean for the trade-off between different types of energy sources, but let me tell you a little bit more about what the study does say that speaks to your question, at least to the extent that we can extrapolate from the results in our work. And so the methods that we use are based on these atmospheric measurements that you mentioned earlier. And what these measurements are very strong at is giving us a number on what are the total emissions from the U.S. and what are the total emissions from certain specific regions in the U.S. To some extent, we can drill down at a high level to different economic sectors. So, for example, emissions associated with animal husbandry, emissions associated with oil and gas production and refining. But we are not drilling down to the level of what are emissions from, for example, fracking, what are emissions from, expansions of specific types of technologies. Really, what I would say the main contribution of our work is it provides complement to the inventory-based approach that the EPA is using. In the inventories, what the EPA does is essentially make a laundry list of all the different types of emissions that we're aware of and use data that are available to try to quantify those individual sources. At the end, you can add up all of these individual line items, but as you can imagine, the uncertainty compounds as you are adding up all of these individual numbers. What our study shows is what that total ought to be. And the results really show that the total that we see from the atmosphere does not match the sum of the parts in the inventories. And so really what the study provides is a call to action to drill back into those inventories to understand better what types of emissions might have been underestimated, what types of emissions might be missing. And once we can reconcile what the inventories are telling us from that line item perspective with the total that we see in the atmosphere, at that point, one can have intelligent discussions about the points that you've brought up, such as what does this mean for the overall climate impact of one energy source versus another. But at this point, really what our study is saying is that the total does not equal the sum of the parts, and we need to resolve that discrepancy if we are going to move forward.
And again, I'm speaking with Anna Michalak, who is a professor at Stanford University School of Earth Sciences and a researcher with the Department of Global Ecology at the Carnegie Institution for Science. She is the co-author of a new study just published by Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that finds U.S. methane emissions 50% higher than government estimates. So, but at this point, it would seem that the headline here is that the United States is spewing 50% more methane than the EPA had estimated. And this is only going to 2008 before the fracking boom began. I think one can assume that the next measurements that you come up with are likely to be worse, are they not?
So one quick point of clarification. The EPA estimates that we're comparing to are the latest estimates in the sense that they were released this year, but we are comparing apples to apples in the sense that we're comparing EPA's estimate for 2008 with our own estimates for 2008. So those numbers are directly comparable. In terms of where we expect emissions to have gone between 2008 and today, it depends a little bit on your perspective on the problem. From one perspective, it's undeniably true that overall natural gas production has increased, that the production of shale gas has increased. But on the other hand, some might argue that the technology has improved substantially as well, so that per unit gas produced, the emissions may have decreased substantially. And so you would have one trend pushing emissions up, in other words, more gas production, and you might have another trend pushing emissions down if the technology has indeed improved substantially over that time period. And so, you know, in the reporting on this paper, individual parties have very much pushed for emphasizing one or the other of those trends. But from a scientific standpoint, the only honest thing to do is to actually repeat the study and see what we see in these most recent years. And again, reconcile that with the line items that we have within the inventories.
So, Anna Michalak, again, a professor at Stanford University School of Earth Sciences and a researcher with the Department of Global Ecology at the Carnegie Institution for Science. She's the co-author of this new study that finds that previous estimates by the EPA of the amount of methane spewing into the atmosphere are 50% lower than the findings in this new study that we're talking about here. And in terms of one of the aspects of the study, which I think most people think it's kind of amusing. It's a sort of joke that you would see on late night television about cows' flatulence and burping. But the truth of the matter is that what your studies found is that cows spewing twice as much methane than previously thought. Is that right?
That is correct, and that is our estimate. And just to be clear, it's not just flatulence and burping, but also manure management is actually a very large methane source that comes from animal husbandry and cows in particular. But yes, so our study indicates that the emissions associated with what we call ruminants, so a whole class of animals that cows among them being the chief type within the U.S., are emitting about twice as much methane as inventories suggest. And I think this is actually a perfect example of the challenges associated with this inventory-based approach. You can imagine that within the EPA inventory, the number of cows can be tracked to a relatively high level of accuracy, but then one needs to apply some type of multiplicative factor to translate that number of animals into total emissions, and there's a certain uncertainty associated with that. Whereas from the atmospheric perspective, what we're actually seeing is the net impact of all of that economic sector. And so we have a pretty strong constraint on what the total emissions may indeed be.
But what would their contribution be in the overall spectrum of methane emissions?
At the national level, I would actually have to dig back out to give you a precise percentage. Mm-hmm. But
a ballpark would do, though, just to get an idea of how where.
So let me give you this number. Globally, methane emissions associated with all kinds of agricultural production are about half of total emissions globally. So we're talking about a very large number.
And this is roughly half of what's being produced. What then, if we realize at the end of the day how important and detrimental methane is in terms of the adding to global warming, what do we do about all those cows? Doesn't this raise some very challenging questions?
It does, and it's been interesting to see some of the commentary on the news stories coming out, and a lot of advocates for veganism, for example, making a point about eating lower down on the food chain. But I think it is important to recognize that human beings are contributing to greenhouse gas emissions through a whole host of activities, so not just the types of things that we tend to think of, like driving cars and flying planes and heating our homes, but really through the full spectrum of economic activities that contribute to sustaining our lifestyle. And there's no doubt that on a global level, the increased demand for animal protein is a huge driver of climate change in a variety of contexts, whether it's land use change, land use for agriculture, methane emissions, and a variety of other issues as well.
So just in the last minute, Anna Michalak, my understanding is that there's a sort of self-reinforcing aspect to global warming. As it gets worse, so does it exponentially release more methane, particularly with the Arctic tundra, when it releases all of the methane as it gets warmer. So is that a factor? Is that coming online yet, that kind of apocalyptic addition to this already fairly frightening problem?
Right. What you're referring to is a whole host of what we call positive feedback sense. In other words, mm-hmm. the worse things get. There is a lot of concern within the scientific community about the melting of Arctic permafrost, so the melting of soils that have historically been permanently frozen. And there are many ongoing studies looking at that problem. There hasn't been anything that could be called a massive change in those emissions as of yet, but it's one of those factors that could change very quickly by a large amount over a short period of time. And that is, of course, a factor that is separate from the types of sources that we looked at in this study, where we were looking only at the direct impacts of human activity rather than these more indirect impacts mediated through global warming, for example. But you're right that ultimately, if we want to understand the global methane budget and if we want to understand global climate change, we need to be looking at all of these different components, which gets back to the importance of understanding what the baseline is so that we can make informed decisions in the future.
Well, Anna Michalak, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
It was my pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Anna Michalak, who's a professor at Stanford University School of Earth Sciences and a researcher with the Department of Global Ecology at the Carnegie Institution for Science. She is the co-author of a new study just published by Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that finds U.S. methane emissions 50% higher than government estimates. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow. Bye for now.